not a message about the story of Cain and Abel. I wanted you to hear the whole story because it's important that we ground the message today in that scenario, that accounting of how Adam and Eve's first two boys didn't do so well. They were an example of true sibling rivalry in a way that we can identify. Those of us that have kids, that have multiple kids, we've seen sibling rivalry from time to time. This was the first accounting of this sort of difficulty between brothers. Those of you who were here last week or who have listened online know that I started a series last week called The Hall of Faith. And the Hall of Faith is based in its entirety on Hebrews chapter 11. And I shared with you that I'm going to take you through all of the names that are in that chapter as a way of instructing us on the kind of faith we need to have in order to live into our calling, both in our individual lives and in the life of this church, that it is only through faith that we can accomplish great things. It is God who will accomplish through us. Last week I asked the question, what is faith? And at the very beginning of Hebrews chapter 11, it says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And we unpacked that a bit. We also unpacked how significant faith is. And a little later in this chapter of Hebrews, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Matthew 13:58, Jesus is in his hometown and they don't believe in him. They scoff at him. Who is this? We know his mom. We know his siblings. And it says, Jesus did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. So that is why we're going to spend time, significant time, learning what it is through these over 20 examples of faith in one chapter, how we can have the kind of faith that transforms us and enables us to be used so powerfully by God. Our passage in Hebrews 11 today is simply one verse, Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. So Betty just read for us the account of Cain and Abel. So what do you remember from that account? This is like giving you the review and then giving you the quiz. Okay? What did you learn about Abel this morning? Because we remember Cain better. What do you remember about Abel? He was killed. He gave more? Better. We don't know how much. Anything else? He was counted as righteous. Yes? He did. Does it puzzle anybody else? I used to wonder about this story. It's like, now wait a minute. Cain's job was to do the fields, and he brought produce. Abel's job was to take care of the sheep. He brought a sheep. Was Cain supposed to bring the sheep? That's what we're going to be looking at this morning. It says, by faith, Abel brought the more acceptable offering. By faith. And I went exploring in different translations because I thought maybe this would help me understand. And in the ERV, this is what it says. Cain and Abel both offered sacrifices to God. But Abel offered a better sacrifice to God because he had faith. God said he was pleased with what Abel offered, and so God called him a good man because he had faith. Abel died, but through his faith, he is still speaking. in the message. By an act of faith, Abel brought a better sacrifice to God than Cain. It was, this is incredibly important, it was what he believed, not what he brought, that made the difference. That's what God noticed and approved as righteous. After all these centuries, that belief continues to catch our notice. It was what he believed, not what he brought, that made the difference. So what did he believe? What did he believe? Last week, I talked about three different ways to express our relationship with God. And we talked about which one was the kind of faith that we needed to have to be pleasing to God and to be used by God. The first was, I think that God is going to do mighty things through us. I think. I believe, like that one, I believe that God is going to do mighty things through us. And we talked about, that's not enough. It sounds great. This is where the faith is. I know. I know. Faith is certainty. That's what we have at the beginning of Hebrews 11. Faith is being certain. I know that God is going to do great things through us. Abel knew. He didn't just believe. He didn't just think. He knew that God was God. He knew that God deserved his very best. He knew that God would be pleased with sacrificial giving, and he trusted that God would provide. What did Abel bring? He says the fat portions from some of the firstborn of this flock. What does that mean? The fat portions. I don't know about you. If somebody decided to bring me some mutton, I'd prefer the lean meat, just saying. Right? That, to me, I mean, that costs more in the supermarket than the fat. Right? I think that we miss something very important here. In the Hebrew, the fat portion was the choicest and best part. Ha! Huh. There we go. That makes more sense. And Abel's sacrifice was from the firstborn of the flock. He didn't wait to see how many were going to make it and be unblemished. The very first that was the best. He brought the very, very best to God. Do you think he gave any thought to bringing a better sacrifice than Cain? It's not there. We don't know. But it's not consistent with God's pleasure, because God is looking at the heart. I can picture this story this way. Now, okay, this is me picturing. I'm not quoting scripture, okay? Everybody got that? Got to be clear on that. So, this is the way it would go in my house if Adam and Eve lived there. Adam and Eve tell the boys, bring a gift to the Lord. God has made it clear, and perhaps also to the boys, what he requires. Abel loves the Lord, and he can't wait to bring the Lord the best that he can. He can't wait. He's committed to obeying what God has asked of him. Cain simply grabs some of the produce to get the sacrifice thing out of the way. God sees Abel's heart and faith and trust and is overjoyed. But he also sees the reluctant gift that Cain brings. Cain is accountable for his lack of trust, his lack of understanding, his lack of commitment to God. And then Cain gets really ticked off when God isn't pleased. Does that make sense to you? Does that, you could picture it kind of coming down that way? I can. What we give to God lets God into the state of our heart and the state of our mind. One more translation of this verse from the NLB. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. A righteous man. A man who was right with God. So my question is, are we right with God? And do our actions show that? Faith that pleases God is knowing that he is worthy of our best, that we trust him with everything we are and everything that we have, and that we actually give him the very best of what we have to give, not what we have left over after we put ourselves first. So, how faithful are we? How faithful are we? Do we know what God asks of us? Remember I said, Abel understood. He understood what God wanted of him. Do we know what God asks of us? You shall love the Lord your God with all of your... Good. You've got a row here to help you. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. Not when it's convenient. Not when you have a few extra minutes. No. All of us, all the time. Last week when I met with the youth, I had one of the most wonderful, I love these conversations. I'm a crazy woman because they don't bother me. I want them grappling. And we talked about what it means to put God first. And they are so honest. We sitting in church on a Sunday morning, we're not going to let anybody know what we're thinking. But the youth, I'm so grateful. They feel safe. And they just blurted out whatever they're thinking. And so I said, God needs to be number one, first priority. What? God first? Yeah. Well, but what about, they're trying to be righteous. What about my family? Yeah, right, that's what they think of first. Then it got dirty. What about sports? What about? And we went over it. And then it was, well, why should I put God first? Don't you love it? I love it that they're asking these questions. And I said, well, why do you think? Because he created us. Well, there's a good reason. You owe everything to him. And then we talked about sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He gave that for you. What do you think? What do you think he deserves? And they left there going, wait, I don't know about this. And we promised we'd talk about it today. I love that honesty because it is so hard for even us as all grown up mature Christians to really get it. What else does God want for us? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Remember? That's the other part. Great commandment. What does that mean? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all I have commanded you. We did a whole series on this right after I came. How are we doing living that out? Romans 12, we talked about not very long ago, 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. That's the sacrifice that's like Abel's. That's what Abel's heart was like. Micah 6:8, and what does the Lord require of you? Question, answer, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Those are the things. It's clear. We don't have to guess. It's there. Do we know what God asks of us? Yes. But the question is, how are we doing? How are we doing loving God, loving Christ, serving Him sacrificially? We're about to take on a huge thing. We're going to be talking about it for weeks and months to come because we need to be ready. What faith is going to be necessary as we start to plan our move to Bethany? As we discern our initial focus, we need to just hone in on what we're called to do. Not get scattered. Hone in. We discern our ministry. We have an amazing gift being given to us. And we're going to develop a long-term plan to look at what can we do? What can we do? Well, this week, we first learn that our faith needs to be sacrificial. We sacrifice our own agenda. We approach the future in unity and in humility. We sacrifice financially. We give as we're able from the first fruits that God has given us. We sacrifice our time, not our leftover time. Not just gathering up a little time here and there, first fruits. Our first priority is to make time for worship and for serving God. We sacrifice our talents. We use whatever abilities we have to prepare the facilities. There's going to be fun work to do and hard work to do to prepare Bethany to become Mission Covenant Church. And then to be part of the ministry that lies ahead. And we sacrifice our comfort. Sandra, you do get to be the star today. Invite, 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 invite. Look at the empty chairs. We got a lot going on. I'm learning this. I try not to let it bother me. I understand. I learned last year because it really threw me. You know, October's a bad month for worship attendance. Because there's so many fun things going on. And that's okay. That's okay. But we invite. And we call the people that aren't here. There's some we haven't seen in 2 or 3 weeks. I'm taking note. Something I need to call them this week. Let them know they're missed. That's not comfortable for everybody to do. But we need to sacrifice our comfort. You know, if each one brings one, you see that at the bottom of that e-flyer I send almost every week. Each one bring one, it's become something I bet you don't pay attention to. But just think, if everybody brought one to become part of this, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. That's all it would take. We have an exciting future. And God is preparing hearts to say yes. But we have to be willing to invite. Is it worth it? Will it be worth it? I don't know about you. But I would love for it to be said, using this scripture, by faith, Mission Covenant brought God a better offering than others did. By faith, they were commended as righteous when God spoke well of their offerings. And by faith, Mission Covenant still speaks, even though they are gone. When we are gone, let that be our legacy. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, we believe. Help our unbelief. Help us to grow in a sacrificial faith that is not done out of obligation like Cain's offering, but rather is done through joy. And done through a deep desire to please you. Lord, thank you for the examples of faith that we get to follow in your word. Touch each one of us in the way you would have us be touched today. Change us that we may be more pleasing to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.